Again, turn in God's Word, turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be reading from verse 13 through into chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. This is God's Word. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Amen. If you would like to have God's Word open in front of you at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we come this evening to think about the return of the King. There is a great and momentous event coming, an event that will mark the end of history. All creation is heading to one destination. It'll be a time that will signal the end of time and the beginning of eternity. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be the singular, most important and glorious event in the future of this world. There are a few things that grip the interest and excitement of Christians as much as the end times or the second coming. There's a lot of interest in the return of Christ. And this interest goes even beyond the boundary lines of the church. Hollywood, it has stirred up interest in the end times. Many movies have been made that deal with the world coming to an end. Books upon books have been written concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Novels that deal with the end times and the return of the King. Unfortunately, many of these movies and many more of these books are fanciful and theologically incorrect. They give some very strange ideas about the return of Christ. But this shouldn't take away from the fact that the King of the universe is returning. The Creator, the Sustainer, the Lord and Saviour. He is coming back to earth a second time. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is coming back. He is returning, and all of creation, all of history is moving forward to that one point. This is what Paul is writing about in this next section in his letter to the Thessalonians. Here we have a normal church, ordinary believers, and Paul is speaking to them about the greatest event that lies in the future. So this evening, let us look at the return of the King. Let us look at this momentous event that calls us to action. And the first thing we see here is the return of the King is for all believers. It is for all believers. Not everyone in Thessalonica is a strong believer. There are some people within this fellowship who are faint-hearted. They're discouraged. They are struggling. They are fearful. This is a typical church. But why are these believers faint-hearted? Why are they downcast? Well, they're discouraged because they have heard that Jesus Christ was going to return, but they see no sign of it. They've been taught that Christ will return and they'll be with them forever. But Christ hasn't come back yet. And to make matters worse, some of the members of the church have died. And so the Thessalonians have been asking themselves, have we missed the return of the King? Have we been misinformed? Well, these dear brothers and sisters who have died, are they going to miss out? Have they missed out on the greatest singular event that is going to take place? The Thessalonians ask themselves, what has gone wrong? And so Paul writes to them. And Paul says, nothing is wrong. The return of the King, it is for all believers. It is for those, as Paul says, who are asleep, and that it is also for those who are still alive. It is for those who are asleep. These believers will not miss out on the return of the King. Look at verse 13. Don't be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Paul says, don't be mistaken. Verse 14. Through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. The promise is there, the dead will be raised up. Those believers who have died, they will not miss out on the return of Christ. Paul uses the term fallen asleep. As Paul writes this to this church, they're thinking about somebody's mother. They're thinking about somebody's father. They're thinking about a brother or a sister, perhaps a young son or daughter. There are those within this church who know the pain and the loss of losing a loved one. Paul says, they are asleep. He uses this term rather than saying those who have died. And throughout Scripture, this term is often used to describe believers who have died because it's a term of hope. There is something more to come for those who are asleep. There is the promise of the new morning. The new day will bring with it new life. When we sleep, we expect that we are going to wake up the next morning. Sleep is not the end. Paul says, your loved ones are asleep. The problem is you think they're going to miss out because their body is in the grave. But the morning is yet to come. There is still the new day. They will wake. When a believer dies, their soul goes immediately into the presence of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And at this moment in time, they are there worshipping Christ. Their body remains in the ground, waiting, sleeping. Will God leave them there in the grave? Will He abandon their bodies that He created? Paul says no. When the King returns, their bodies will be raised up. Look at the end of verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise first. Going back again to verse 14. God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. Christ will not leave those who He has given His life for. His own resurrection proves that. Paul says, for believers who have died, they will not miss out on the return of Christ. We will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And so the return of the King, when Christ comes back again, it is for believers who have died. It is for those who are asleep in the grave, for those whose souls are currently rejoicing in heaven. And it is also for those believers who are still living. Verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. When Jesus Christ returns to earth, in His second coming, we will be brought up to be with Him. For all who are alive at His return, they too will not miss out on heaven. But they will be gathered up with those whose bodies are in the grave. At that time, they too will receive new heavenly bodies, glorified bodies. And on that day, we will be with Christ forever. There will be a great reunion, Paul says. We will be together with those who have gone before us. Along with all of our loved ones who have died in Christ, we will be included. This promise is for all who believe. It is a promise for all Christians. The return of Christ, it's not for a select group. It's not for the spiritually elite. But His return is going to be a gathering together of His entire family, His brothers and sisters, those who've been adopted into God's family. It's going to include Abraham, Moses, Elijah, King David, Peter, James, John. It'll include the Apostle Paul. This gathering together for all believers, it will include all of those through the history of the church. The martyrs, the early church fathers, those great missionaries who have brought the gospel to many lands. For the simple believer who went through life unnoticed. For the weakest believer. For the youngest believer. The return of the King is for all believers. Those who have gone on before, whose bodies are asleep in the grave, and for those who will be alive when Christ returns. He will gather you up to be with them. Whether you live or die, if you are a Christian this evening, you will not miss out on Christ's second coming. You will be there for this great event, for the return of the King. It is for all believers. But secondly, here we also see the return of the King is a momentous event. It's a momentous event. Look at the language that Paul uses to describe the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 16. He will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. Verse 17. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Chapter 5, verse 2. That day will come like a thief in the night. Verse 3. Sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. The coming of Christ, the return of the King, it is going to be an event that is unmissable. Here there's a note of triumph and splendor. It's a visible return. We are going to see it. We are going to hear it. We are going to smell it. The return of Jesus Christ, it's going to impact all of our senses. This event is momentous. It's an event that is triumphal. When Jesus Christ first came to earth, it went unnoticed by the watching world. There was only a select few who glimpsed his glory and his splendor. The angels announced the arrival of the King of the universe to a group of shepherds out in the fields just outside of Bethlehem. Nobody's. When Christ first came, he came as a small infant. He was born in a dark corner of an unknown village that was very, very insignificant. When this King came to earth the first time, it wasn't shouted from the rooftops, but it was an event that went unnoticed. Not this time. When the King returns, every eye will see. Every ear will hear. When the King returns, the trumpet of God will sound. All the world will hear. There'll be no mistaking what's happening. There'll be a cry of command. The announcement will be sounded throughout the universe. The voice of the archangel. The King has returned. The King has returned. He will return in triumph, majesty, glory, splendor. Every eye will see. Every ear will hear. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. It's a triumphal event. Note here that it's also a singular event. On the day that Christ returns visibly for all to see and hear, on that day he will gather up all believers to be with him forever. There's no mention of Christ secretly returning to earth and gathering up some of the believers and taking them off to heaven, leaving other people. There's no secret rapture mentioned in Scripture, like some books on the second coming mention. The word in verse 17 for caught up is that word rapture. But here we see it clearly marks the end of history. It is part of Christ's triumphal return as King and Judge. It is one event where Christ returns, gathers up all believers. We'll see later on that day, it's also a day of judgment. A day when we will see him as judge. It's an event that all will witness. It's a triumphal event. It's visible. It's a singular event. But it will also come at an unknown time. In chapter 5, Paul deals with the timing of the return of the King. He says it will come like a thief in the night. This doesn't mean that it's going to be secret and unseen. It simply means that we don't know when Christ will return. We don't know when a burglar is coming to our house. He doesn't arrive on the door one day, politely knock, hand you a little slip of paper that says, "I'll be around at 3:30 in the morning on Friday." They don't do that. They come at a time that is unexpected. They come when we do not know. And that's what Paul is talking about. We don't know the time. with Christ's return. We can't pinpoint a date, an hour. We can't predict it. And Paul says that for many, it's going to come as a surprise. There will be people who will be thinking there's peace and security. There's going to be people who aren't expecting Christ to return. Paul says for them, there will be sudden destruction. Because many will be surprised at his return. No one knows the day or the hour. It is unexpected in many ways. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. This event is going to be the most public event ever. It'll be an event that is seen the world over. It's going to be announced and it'll be triumphal. It'll be visible. It'll be climactic. This is an event that will bring to a close history. And it's an event that will mark the end of this world and the beginning of eternity. And in that event, we who are believers will be gathered up and reunited with all believers, and we will be brought to be with Christ forever. The return of the King, it is a momentous event. For the believer, it will be salvation. For the unbeliever, it will mean judgment and eternal destruction. The return of the King is for all believers. It's momentous. And thirdly and finally, we see the return of the King calls us to action. The return of the King calls us to action. This momentous event is going to be a surprise to many as Christ returns like a thief in the night. But Paul stresses to the Thessalonians that this is not the case for them. They are not going to be surprised. Instead, they are going to be ready. They are called to action. In verse 2, Paul stresses that we are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We know that the King is returning. We don't know when, but we know that he is coming, and so we can get ready. We can be prepared. We are called to action. The knowledge of his return is to stir us up. The King is coming, so let us be full of hope. We're to be full of hope. Verse 13 of chapter 4. Do not grieve as others do who have no hope. For the unbeliever, they have a reason to grieve and despair. They have a reason for their heart to sink at the sight of death. If death was the end, if Christ wasn't returning, if there was going to be no new morning, if there was no joy in a future and eternity when Christ returns, we would have every reason to give up hope. We would have every reason to throw in the towel. We would have every reason to be discouraged. Life would be meaningless. But we know that that is not the case. Because we have hope. We have a sure and a certain hope. That hope is for all who fall asleep in Christ. And it's for ourselves, for those who will be alive when Christ returns, whenever that may be. We have a great confidence and trust. We don't have to be faint-hearted. We are not to be discouraged. We are not to grieve the way the world grieves. Verse 9 of chapter 5. Here's the reason. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Is there a greater hope? Here is that sure and certain promise. And so what we are to do is we are to strengthen ourselves with these words. The action that we are to do is to be full of hope. It's to consider this and to believe it and to trust it. And we are to look beyond all of our momentary troubles and pains and sufferings. And we are to look to this great future hope, that sure and certain hope. And we are to be strengthened. We are to be built up. We are to be encouraged. We will obtain the full salvation. We will obtain that full inheritance that is being kept for us. We are called to have hope because the King is returning. Does this not excite you? Does this not give you reason for hope? Does this not give you a reason to look beyond our present trials and troubles? The King is returning, so take heart. Have hope. We are to have hope, to be trusting in Christ, keeping life in perspective. We also see that the King is coming, so let us be awake. Let us be awake. Look at verse 6. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. The world is in darkness, but we are of the light. If you're a believer this evening, you're different to the rest of the world. As the world sleeps, they are unaware that Jesus Christ is going to be returning. They are unaware that the King of the universe will return and he is going to judge them. But just as they are unaware and asleep, we are awake. And we know that he is coming. And so we are to be ready. And we are to be active in the work of his kingdom. Paul here is saying, be awake, be alert. Don't be lazy. We are to be serving Christ. Give yourselves to the work of his kingdom because you know that the King is coming back. Give yourselves to the work of the church because you know that the King is returning. Paul says, don't slack off. Don't just come to church just for a free ride. Be involved in the work of Christ's kingdom. Be active in serving Christ in whatever role or function that is. Paul says, be awake. Be alert. And this includes our own personal lives. We are to be awake spiritually. We are not to be like the world. We are not to be in darkness. We are not to be caught up in sin. We are not children of darkness. So we are not to behave like children of darkness. Instead, we belong to the light, Paul says. So behave as children of the light. Live your Christian life out. Different to the world. Be awake because the King is returning. We won't be surprised if we are alive when Christ returns. Because we are waiting. Because we are awake. Because we are alert. Because we are serving. Because we are trusting. Lastly, the King is coming. So let us encourage one another. We are also in a spiritual fight. There's the Prince of Darkness and our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. So Paul says that we have to put on the breastplate of faith and love. We have to have on the helmet of the hope of salvation. We're to be prepared to take our stand for Christ as we wait his return. We're to be on our guard, and as we are on our guard, we are to encourage one another as soldiers for Christ. Look at verse 18 of chapter 4 and verse 11 of chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We are part of a family. We are part of the city of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And we are waiting for our King to return. We are waiting for Him to return to take us to be with Him forever. And so this whole family, the whole city, our brothers and sisters, what are we to do with one another? Paul says, the King is returning, so encourage each other. Build each other up. When you see one becoming disheartened, encourage them. The King is returning. When someone in the family is struggling, remind them, the King is returning. Keep on going. Keep on persevering. We are to remind ourselves and each other of the great salvation that is being kept in heaven for us. We are to speak of the hope that we have in Christ, especially in times of mourning the death of loved ones. Talk about Christ. Talk about His return. Long for it and pray for it together. Seek His kingdom, and in doing that, you will be encouraging and building each other up. Do that just as you have been doing. Let us be excited about the return of the King. Jesus Christ is returning. It will be a momentous event. If you're a believer, it will be an event that you are at. The whole world will see it. So let us be awake. Let us stay alert. Let us keep on serving the King. Let us have hope. And let us encourage one another and build each other up. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Lord and Father, we thank You for the great encouragement of these words. We thank You for the great hope that we can have, knowing that Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord and our Saviour, is returning. Father, we pray that through all of our troubles that we go through here on earth, through our hardships and difficulties, we ask that You will help us to raise up our eyes and to look to Christ. O Lord, help us to know the great future that we will have with Him forever. Father, we thank You and praise You for the encouragement that we have received in the past. O Lord, we thank You that we do not grieve as the world grieves. We thank You for those loved ones who have gone before us in Christ. We thank You for the great confidence and knowledge that we have in knowing that they will not miss out when Christ returns. But when He comes back, we will be gathered up with them, and that we will be with our Lord and Saviour forever. O Lord, we pray that Christ will return soon. We ask that Your kingdom will grow and increase. O Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we do ask that these truths will be buried deep in our hearts and our minds, that we may go out from here with a renewed enthusiasm, with a renewed hope, seeking to build each other up for Your sake and Your glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.